Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. And we come your way Sundays at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com. We also archive the podcasts, it's kind of the way I put it, at not only the radio show's page, but also on SoundCloud, iTunes, and we keep you updated on Facebook at Richard Dugan TMYS, so check that out as well. We're also on Twitter, and I'm still working on all the logistics on how to link those two so that when I update Facebook, it sends a tweet. We'll figure it out one of these days, and you'll be getting that as well. I am very excited to have a returning guest to my program, and it's been a long time. Dorothy Segovia is my guest here in studio with a website, which I thought was very interesting. Right Inside, starting with a W, W-R-I-G-H-T, rightinside.com. And thank you so much for coming back. It's great to have you in studio.
Thank you. It's fun to be back. And Right is W-R-I-T-E.
What did
Inside,
I say?
G-H-T.
Oh, I said G-H-T. I'm not even sure what that means, what that word is.
I think that's a place, actually. Oh. Right.
Yeah. Okay, W-R-I-T-E.
Yes.
Inside. Rightinside.com is the website, and we certainly encourage you to go there. We're going to be talking about a lot of things, I'm sure, but also about your latest work, and that is My Body, My Car, How to Coach Yourself Through Life, Little Accidents. And it's great to be talking about these kinds of things, because in spite of the fact that I've only been driving for 20 years, which would be surprising to some folks, I have had, I would say, maybe two or three incidents. One of them was an accident. I scraped another car with my van in a parking lot. I actually totaled that same van on the 154. This is going back a lot of years. And I've gotten pulled over for a speeding ticket and had to take the online driving test. But there were two other accidents that our car was involved in, but we weren't in the car. It was rear-ended by a car that was rear-ended. There was one other. In the same car that was rear-ended, I was in the left lane. It was a one-way street, two lanes, one-way street. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman to my right decided he wanted to make a left turn. And it's just amazing. The thing that frustrates me more than anything else, as opposed to the incident, is the frickin' paperwork. Dealing with the insurance company and having to get the car fixed. You know, the actual incident, you know, wasn't as big a deal. Now, the accident where I totaled the van, the thing that astounded me was how loud everything was. The crashing was just unbelievable. I'm sitting there trying to force my will on the situation, saying as loud as I could, no, 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 no. Stop, stop, stop. And it wouldn't stop. And these are the kinds of things that we go through in our daily lives.
Right.
We have these accidents. And I use the analogy that, just as you have in your book, My Body, My Car, when talking about transitioning, death mm-hmm. and dying. Mm-hmm. I ask someone, how many cars have you had in your lifetime so far? It's the same thing with the body. Mm-hmm. We're going to give up this one because it's all worn out and it's dented and it's scratched and this and that and the other. The upholstery's all torn up. And we're going to get a brand new one. We don't even know what it's going to look like. We don't even know if it's going to be here. But that's kind of what we're going to talk about here on the program today, I think, is getting through those kinds of things, because a lot of folks, some people just take it almost as an afterthought. It's like, it is an accident, no big deal. But there's a reason why you went through some of these things, right? Aren't these sort of teaching moments for us?
Well, for me, it's always about letting go and letting life happen and being really present with what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it just tells me how little control I actually have yeah. about incidents in my life, and that the best I could do is go with it. Mm-hmm. Go with it when it's actually happening. I wanted to ask you, when you had your accident, you were saying no, no, no. Did time seem to stop for you? did things become heightened?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very
you,
much
you
so.
You mentioned the sound, how loud it was.
I deal in sound every day of my life because of the work I do. And there was no volume control. It was full volume. It was just loud. Basically, I came around the right turn going up the 154 from Kyrie L. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I think of is I focused on the white line of the shoulder,
right,
which then curved off. And I noticed I was going off, and I said, okay, gently, don't overcorrect, because, you know, that's usually the first reaction, is to jerk the wheel the other direction. And obviously I was going fast enough where I must have overcorrected, because then I, at an angle, bounced off the left side of the bridge, the overpass that I was going over, and then bounced and hit head on the right side. And I thought when I hit head on, the van was going to flip over and go down to the road below.
Wow.
My bicycle, which was in the back of the van, was actually damaged. I was able to get that fixed, but the van was totaled. Now, what's interesting, though, is I want to ask you about all of this in relation to the law of attraction, because these are not, we use the word accident.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But there are no accidents. Okay.
Right.
Let's call them what they are. So in many cases, they're wrecks. Mm-hmm. Okay. You've wrecked your car kind of thing. That's what I did. There were lessons to be learned. I wasn't focused enough, maybe, or whatever the case. But isn't that really what we're talking about? We draw these situations to us for a reason.
Right. And the other person is drawing them to themselves for
if there's
a reason,
someone else involved,
too,
yes.
If there's someone else involved. For instance, I know that when I went through the accident, which talked about the book, where the car was totaled, there weren't any injuries, there was another person involved. Right away, when my car accident actually was right over in Goleta off of that Fairview and Encina over there, and someone had turned left in front of me. But when I pulled, it was so surprising. And what I noticed immediately is that when I pulled over and I was going to reach over to get the registration and stuff, I was able to have the presence of mind to take a minute and to check in with myself. And I actually held my hands out and said, thank you for taking care of me, whoever you is. Thank you for taking care of me and for letting me be present through this all of this process.
Yeah.
And so I was able to use the tools of the non-dominant hand, releasing and drawing to release it. For me, with the law of attraction, I have no idea why I'm attracting something. I could look back in hindsight, mm-hmm, and then we make things good, you know, telling ourselves, well, this is the reason. And it's always, for me, a good and kind reason. But for me, the whole purpose is to just release the incident and to keep moving forward. It was a big time in my life. That was right when I had left Santa Barbara 10 years ago.
Wow.
And in doing the book, and having that car accident, I realized I was supposed to move, and I hadn't known it then, you know, and it just seemed, you know, the accident, it was, like you said, more paperwork than anything on some of them. But that's really what I needed for myself to learn, is like the paperwork at the end of the day of making myself accountable and responsible for my reactions during the day to what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when it's involved other people, and especially in places like work, this is where we have the least control. So how do we use what we have to take all the accidents that are happening throughout our day?
Yeah.
And how do we manage?
And we'll stick with that word just because it makes things a little simpler for folks to understand.
I think so, too.
Even on this day, as you and I are talking, I've had to deal with, you know, some people say, well, you had a lot of fires to put out this morning, even before you started the interview. Yeah, well, in a manner of speaking, yes, you could say that. I don't like using that analogy, considering the fact that I live in Santa Barbara and we faced 12 fires. Only the Whittier fire caused us to have to be evacuated. So I don't like using the analogy. I'm thankful that CDs are no longer in vogue because I don't like the term burning a CD, even though that's the term that's written on the little button on the software. But yeah, there were several situations that I had to deal with even before I even got to work that were related to work. And it's like, are you kidding me? How is it that for weeks and weeks and weeks, everything's just moving so smoothly? And then all of a sudden, here we are on this day, and it's like a tornado has gone through my life and just torn everything up, and I've got to go through and repair this and that and the other thing. And it's quite not quite that severe, but we have those situations. And of course, as I shared earlier about the law of attraction and attracting these kinds of situations to ourselves, I see her going, and when did I order these, you know, these situations? I don't remember putting in a work order for this to have to deal with and this to have to deal with, but it was set up probably a long, long time ago.
Well, what I call that time is I see them more as different energies. So there's always a peaceful time. There's always a happy time. Here comes chaos. And out of chaos is born all the creativity because we have so much contrast to hit against. Mm-hmm. And that it's causing us to expand more and create more solutions where we didn't know there was a problem before, except that we've been invited into this chaotic moment. And then there's lyrical, lighthearted times. So I think that it's the law of attraction principle for me is, how do I deal with it? Don't you notice yourself as you've been expanding and growing as a person that the different incidents in your life you handle different as you have more awareness about yourself?
Yeah.
You don't react so much.
Yeah.
You're not involved when something pushes your buttons. You more remember the last time what happened, you know, when you reacted this way. So we seem to take a little bit longer of reflective time when we're in the moment dealing.
Yeah.
So we can't do anything about, here comes all the different kind of energies that make up life. Chaos, lyrical, peaceful, sad, happy.
Yeah.
We can't do anything about that. Those things are going to come. All we can do is stay present to how we react and respond to our feelings,
yeah,
all the time. And if we're doing it reflection, you know, if we have routines in the morning to set up ourselves for meditation or journaling or walking or whatever it may be, some sort of a ritual of presence before we enter the world, then I think that's going to help us stay present to everything that happens.
And yet, we're talking more on an individual level here. But mm-hmm. What I find interesting, and of course, we both know, I forget who said it, but maybe it was Einstein who said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And what you just described is completely the opposite of what I was hearing from the media in particular back in 2008, 2009, when we, in this country, we went through our little financial economic little downturn, right? And I'm not even sure what to call it. Was it a mini depression? Was it a recession? Was it, I don't know what to call it. But what I heard was the list of solutions that they were going to implement. And at the same time, they were saying, we've never been here before. And the solutions that they were going to implement, they had used before. And I thought, well, wait a minute, hold on. How can you say we've never been here before, but you're going to use the same solutions for other problems that we've had? That makes absolutely no sense. You have to come up with new solutions. Someone also said that you can't solve a problem with the same mindset that created it.
That's right.
And that's what they were saying, mm-hmm. in essence, you know? And I thought, wait a minute, aren't these people supposed to be a little wiser than the rest of us and be able to fix these problems or prevent them from happening in the first place? And unfortunately, it seems as though all of the safeguards that were put in place over the next 5 or 6 years, now they're being dismantled. And it's like, and you don't expect this to happen again. And we do the same thing in our own lives sometimes,
mm-hmm.
you know? when I get in my car, one of the first things I do, even before I close the door, is put the seatbelt on. I just do it. And fortunately, when I crashed my van, I had my seatbelt on, or I probably would have gone through the windshield. Because the steering wheel ended up getting pushed forward and up, fortunately, and that was the way it was designed to do, so that it was up and out of the way. So, you know, as long as I had my seatbelt on, I wouldn't be hurt. And I actually had to crawl out the side window. The door wouldn't even open. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
But these are some of the aspects. You know, we talked about paperwork, but you've added a little more paperwork to the process, in a manner of speaking, but in a good way, and that is through journaling. That seems to be a really strong a part of what you promote or what you talk to people about and how important that is. Talk a little bit about journaling and its essence to getting through some of these things.
Well, there's two different kinds of journaling. There's the reflective journaling, the diary type of journaling that we do with our dominant hand, which is saying how we feel about things, incidents that happen. It's releasing and reflecting on what's going on in our lives. But then there's the journaling that my book discusses, is the non-dominant hand journaling. And we do that in order to access how we really feel about something. By the time we're grown-ups, we've learned to be so polite in our society and to tippy-toe, and we shouldn't feel this and we should act like that. And you can't say this, but you really feel that. That it's so confusing to sort things out.
Yeah.
So when we have a trauma like an accident that's coming to us, whether physical or metaphorical, during the workday, chaos has entered. If we have a few minutes to just use our non-dominant hand and scribble out our feelings about whatever happened and just sort of anchor it to the page, then we could take a minute and look at it and do a couple of sentences of reflective writing of, oh gosh, I didn't realize I felt so chaotic about that. I thought it was more like this, but I could clearly see from my drawing that I'm pretty angry or about it, or it's been in there a long time bubbling and I've never said anything. So that we can sort out how we feel before we go and try to do something about it, if there's something to be done, like telling someone or changing something in our life or going on to the next step. But just getting present with ourselves about how we feel about something is so much releasing for us, and it creates some sort of a space for things to be okay.
That's always what we're looking. We're looking to get into that space where everything's okay.
Right.
Over the years, and I don't know about you, but you know, I've never been a great mathematician. I can do math, no problem. But in terms of finances, the situation that happened in 2008 was a real reflection to me of my lack of, shall we say, discipline in the financial realm. And that, like a lot of people, you know, you live from paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes you mentally struggle and sometimes physically struggle to make sure that you've got the car insurance paid and the rent or mortgage paid, and you've got all the food, you've got the food on the table and clothes and so on and so forth. And it's even more of a struggle, especially if you have kids, you know, children. And the only way up until a few years ago that I was able to get through month to month was to remind myself, first of all, here you are right now. You're alive. You've got a place to live. You've got food. You've got clothing. You've got the shelter. You've got the car. The insurance is paid and so forth. And yes, your bank account might be down to zero. But you've been through this, who knows, maybe hundreds of times. And repeating the first statement, you're here now. You didn't die in any of those hundred scenarios where you thought, oh my God, you know, you're stressing. And that was the only way for me to sort of deal with that. And sometimes that's all we have, is we got to look back at our past saying, I made it.
Yes.
Again and again and again. And it's like, but I don't want to make it again and again and again. I want to move beyond that. I don't want to have accidents in my car.
Right.
Or problems with my health or whatever the thing is.
Right.
And I know in talking with people on this program that those are the teaching moments for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. But it's like, isn't there another way that we could learn? I mean, when you go to school, you sit at a desk, you have your book, the teacher instructs and then says read pages 3 to 74, whatever. And then there's going to be a little pop quiz and you take the quiz and hopefully you've read the material, you understood it. I personally love the word grok, to grok it, mm-hmm. to assimilate it into every cell of your being. And then you know the information. Mm-hmm. But there's no real trauma there unless you're stressing over the process itself.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And it's almost like, why can't life be like that?
Well, you know, I love this. You had talked about the law of attraction, like, and regards to accidents with daily things, whether it's health or finances. What I really have gleaned from the law of attraction is that when you're heading this way and something doesn't start to something doesn't feel good anymore about the direction you're heading, mm-hmm. whether you're trying to solve a problem or you're thinking about the problem or something, a conversation, anything, stop. Just stop and take one giant step backwards and completely stop. This is against how we know anything about solving a problem. We're used to throwing more energy at it like it's stuck and it shouldn't be stuck. And how yeah. do we get it unstuck? Well, the, you know what happens when a tire is stuck yeah. and you keep spinning the wheel, you keep getting yourself further in the mud. Mm-hmm. And the only way out is to get out, assess the situation, generally asking for some sort of assistance.
Right.
With monetary accidents, I've certainly had that over and over in my life and I couldn't figure out what was happening. And then finally, I just started taking a different approach of asking for help, stopping when I started noticing that here comes the same pattern, you know, these kinds of things. It's almost like I've developed a way of going to the end solution of what do I want? Mm-hmm. I want to feel good about my bank account. Great. Then how did I get there? Act as if I already do feel good about it and mm-hmm. then kind of work my way backwards. It's almost like letting myself being pulled,
yeah.
pulled to the thing I want. And while I'm getting there, oh yeah, this doesn't feel comfortable. Oh yeah, I could see that now. I didn't get it before. I thought I had to go through this and really try and struggle. No. I'm just keep aiming at what makes me feel comfortable. And these things will slowly start dissipating. Not at first.
Yeah.
You have to go through our own patterns and our own beliefs of that release process. And this is where the accidents happen, is we're trying to, you know, we're not stupid people on our planet. We all want to feel good. We all mm-hmm. want to have these things.
Yeah.
What happens with us, we get stuck in the accidents and not seeing what we want on the other side of it, not seeing coming out of the accident.
And you obviously, you went through your own literal car accident,
mm-hmm.
and which is the outgrowth of this particular book, My Body, My Car.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that experience for you, especially in not just in terms of obviously the book that came out of that.
Right.
But how that really changed you. I mean, where were you at the time? Not literally physically.
Right.
But spiritually and psychologically, if you will, where were you before anything started to unfold in front of you when the car became crumpled? And then where were you after that?
You know, I was trying a lot in my life. I had graduated two different kind of programs. One, the bachelor's degree from Antioch, and then I graduated from this program, my second certification in this non-dominant hand, visioning and creative journaling certifications. And so I was settling into my life, decorating where I lived, trying to settle in when I knew in my heart, I shouldn't be settling in. I could just be waiting for the next thing to present itself. But I kept trying to force my way into what I wanted. I was going to, you know, it wasn't time to start workshops. It wasn't time to do these things I had in mind. And all I had to go on was, well, what is it that I like? Well, I like to write. Well, I work full time. When do I have time to write? And what do I want to write? I don't know. Well, let me just start writing vignettes about my songs. You know, there's five songs and one short story in the book about cars and accidents and being in cars. Mm-hmm. And so I just started that process. And then a couple months later, I had the accident. After the accident, I realized that I didn't give myself a break. I had worked full time. I had gone to school to graduate these things. And now I was going to try to shove my way through the next thing when really what the next thing was, stop. I don't stop very well. I don't feel good about stopping. I think I'm doing something wrong when I stop. So now where I was after the accident was just to realize that stopping is just stopping. It's not wrong or this or that. It's just you finish this, you take a breath. It's like having that breathing space. But the constant act of me trying and forcing and shoving my way through to what I perceived as the next thing I should be doing, comparing myself to other people who had graduated from the program and what they were doing, mm-hmm. instead of letting it evolve, you know. And so that's why I think it is now I have more of an evolving process. You know, literally in the accident,
yeah.
right before I was all scrambled up in my head. I didn't know what to do. And yeah, I'm driving this car. Should I go get gas? No, I don't feel like that. Should I go get videos? I'm not sure. Should I go to the library? So I was doing anything but just sitting there and waiting for the next thing to unfold, for life to present what the next step was.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people doing that. You can see it in the way they drive, talking about people driving, because they're constantly changing lanes, they're slowing down, speeding up. Sometimes they're traveling along the commercial road, the commercial streets where all of the businesses and the retail stores are, trying to figure out where it is they want to go. And you're behind them going, make a decision, do something, you know, because you're slowing the rest of us up here, you know. And we do that pretty regularly. And I wonder, too, and I can only obviously speak from my own experiences. I think about all of the tools that I have, shall we say, accumulated over the years, whether it's in this business or quite literally, I mean, tools. I have three toolboxes at home of varying sizes, and they're very heavy, each of them. Because I have so many tools in there. Most of them I hardly ever use. I will touch them to find something else, but I never use them. And then there are the tools that I have acquired through my profession. And I talk with many guests on this program saying, I've got all these tools in my toolbox. Why is it that I haven't accomplished more in my life? Or is this where I'm supposed to end up? And of course, that's the $60 million question for all of us is, where are we supposed to end up? Where are we supposed to be? What's our role in all of this?
It depends on what we think our purpose is.
Yeah.
For me, my purpose had started before that accident when I started writing down those little vignettes that I could do each morning before I went off to work. That was my purpose, to be a writer, to reflect on my own story, and that's what I seem to be doing best. Memoir with teaching, and I have a vehicle of non-dominant handwriting that I use all the time for myself. And that seems to be my purpose. And once, when I'm tapped into it, then doing things like having a full-time job, when I prefer to be doing this full-time, it's sort of like, well, why am I going to this job? To support what I'm doing. You know, so I try to keep my overhead low. Let's not go buy a bunch of things I have to pay for. Mm-hmm. Let's keep supporting the book. I'm working. So I mentioned to you, I'm going to work with Amy Peterson, this wonderful website, graphics textile designer down in Southern California. I'm going to be working with her on the website. So when I go to work after this mm-hmm. interview, I'm going to be supporting my purpose, which is to keep going forward with my memoir story, creative journaling, teaching. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm tapped into my purpose, then I feel like I can do these other things that life requires, the laundry, the cleaning, the taking out the trash. But if I'm not doing it and I'm just angry because I'm not, you know, where I want to be with it, working full time with it, this type of thing, then I'm on the wrong side of the fence and I need to use my own method to get me back out of it. You know,
and there are days when it's a lot harder than it is other days. We do struggle through that process, and we're all trying to, again, as I've said before, we're all trying to find our way. And that's why we do these programs, is so that people can have an insight, and maybe they will glean from you bits and pieces that will help them to move forward in their process, in their evolution. I sometimes we talk about on this program, we talk about our evolution. Where are we going to be in not just 1,000 years, but in 20 years, 50 years, 100 years? Who are we going to be as a species, and what are we going to be achieving or accomplishing or creating?
More fun.
I hope.
Well, I think that our purpose is involves tapping into the thing that we are the best at and what we like the best and where our talent is. Certainly not everyone can do what you do. With your interest in these topics have led you to create Tell Me Your Story. Not everyone is going to go that path. Not everyone likes to do what I like to do with the expressing my feelings. You know, I'm doing that first and foremost for myself, for my own interest and curiosity about how do I really feel about this, and how come I keep getting stuck in this one little whirlwind of kind of thing that seems to be my thing. And the same thing for you. It started because you were very curious about it. So I think in 15 or 20 years, if we could get as a species curious about ourselves and what makes us tick and how we keep ending up in the same place that's not working, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, we are our own enemy, so to speak.
There's some real truth to that.
Yeah, just how do we keep creating our own accidents? And how do we move past that?
I know that a lot of folks, too, are extremely frustrated with what's going on around us. There are those who are not happy with both their lives and the lives of the people around them, and some of the things that the leaders of various institutions are doing. I think the one thing that we forget and we begin to pass judgment, you know, and we become resentful of those people because we think they're the ones who have the power and the control, is that they're people too, and they're struggling through their own personal internal give and take, their own internal, they're dealing with their own, we'll use the metaphor, accidents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that is difficult for us to see because they're high profile. They're getting all of the attention. And again, as I said, it appears that they have all the power and control. And that's not true, is it?
No, in many instances, they're just part of a team, an organization. They're just the mouthpiece, the figurehead, the person up there on stage, when really there's a whole lot of decision-making going on behind the scenes. I know that for myself, playing music, for me, when I'm dissatisfied with something, I'm happy to have the songwriting for myself. Sometimes it turns into a political activism type of songwriting. And I don't know how helpful it is to to the world. It's certainly more helpful to me. So
helps you to release.
It helps me release. And also it could be helpful if someone's listening to me that, she went and did this, all I could do is write a song about it, pretty much. I could start, I've done various different type of things, smaller activism things, because I wanted to bring my solution to what was happening around me. And I think that's all we can do is not try to head into the mess, but take a step back and think, what is making me interested in this? Where does my talent lie? But always that getting curious about ourselves and feeling feeling we're our own talent and where we're drawn.
Mm. We're talking with Dorothy Sokovia. She's the author of My Body, My Car, How to Coach Yourself Through Life's Little Accidents. It also comes with a music CD, and you can follow her and learn how she used creative journaling to drive through the aftermath of a car accident of her own, including included, as I mentioned, is a music CD with original songs about cars. And written while driving in cars, which it's not illegal yet. Texting is illegal, but what's beautiful about our technology today is you could actually do that because of the voice activated ability of our smartphones and devices to take our voice and convert it into words. Makes it easy. The book is part memoir, part guided workshop, and a whole lot of informative fun. No accidents required, okay? Bear that in mind. You do not have to get into an accident to find out more. But you can find out more by going to Right Inside. That's WRITEINSIDE.com to find out more about both Dorothy as well as the book, My Body, My Car. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're going to continue our conversation here on the program, so please stay with us.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks for staying with us here on the program, along with Dorothy Sokovia, the author of My Body, My Car, How to Coach Yourself Through Life's Little Accidents. How long ago did you start this process of knowing that journaling was your niche, if you will, the thing that you needed to do for you, even let alone telling others and teaching others how to do it as well?
I've always written. I've always been a writer. Whether I was just keeping diaries for myself or writing newspaper articles for the school paper or things like that and local papers. But this turned around in 2002 when I met Lucia Capocchione, who is the founder and the creator of this particular creative journaling method of using your non-dominant hand. And it's a training program. And it was just serendipitously, I ended up in the training program. I was doing it. I was teaching Saturdays over at Juvenile Hall up in San Luis Obispo County. And I wanted another tool for these troubled kids. I taught like songwriting and art type of classes, writing classes. And I ended up in the program with that as my emphasis. But when I got there, after 6 days, I realized, no, I need this for me. I need this because I don't know where I am. Certainly on the first week when you go to the training, it's 1 week at the beginning of the year, 1 week at the end of the year, and you're a graduate. And you work on your own with her books in between. But right away, I was getting the same thing we talked about, this word stop. How do I stop? How do I allow myself to stop? Immediately that was coming up, and I knew that this program was going to help me a lot. I didn't know how, but first my life had to be completely taken apart and then put back together. Not my life, my beliefs in the way I did things. The trying so hard needed to stop.
Mm.
That was not helping me at all.
And, you know, I'm not even going to attempt to remember the exact words of Yoda, who says, try, there is no try. There is just do, you know. And yet, when I think about that, I think about this whole aspect of success and failure. And I still remember to this day this quote from someone who asked Edison, how many times did he fail before he invented the light bulb? And he says, well, I never failed. I just found 999 ways that the light bulb wouldn't work.
That's great.
Which is a whole different mindset than failure, than trying for that matter. But you know what you're referring to is again, that's you know, I go back to that analogy of the 2008 and they decided, hey, we've never been here before, but we're going to use the same old things. And to me, okay, maybe in the short term, it might have worked. I know that a lot of folks were certainly very frustrated at some of the things that they did do. And of course, all of the rules that I thought were in play, they threw out. I mean, wait a minute. This system says that you work by the sweat of your brow, and if you make a mistake and you screw things up and your business goes under, hey, that's just what happens. Oh, no, we're not going to let that happen to these companies. We're going to bail them out. I mean, wait a minute. That's a violation of the rules. That's not how the game is played. You know, that's another game that you guys don't want to play because it has bad connotations. It takes us down the wrong road. I mean, that's what they don't want us to do. But that's what they did. And we kind of do the same kind of thing in our own lives, though. We'll use the same solutions over and over again, thinking, I did it before and it worked. But now we've moved forward. Time has passed. We hopefully have learned more. We've seen more. We've experienced more. And hopefully can come up with some new solutions. But is it because we haven't really been taught how to sort of come up with new solutions in each scenario, even though it might seem similar? You know, it goes back to when I was 7 years old. I was sitting in Mass, and I wanted to try and blink twice really fast so that both blinks were identical, that they were exactly the same. And we're talking about on a universal level. And as I processed that information, I began to realize that was completely impossible. Because no matter how fast I blinked, from one blink to the next, the universe was moving. So they could never, ever be identical. So when we are faced with similar circumstances, and we want to apply the same solutions, is it because we haven't been taught how to do that, or have we been taught? No, use the same solutions over and over again.
Well, generally speaking, when decisions are, we keep going around and offering the same solutions, it's because we don't know what aspect of ourselves is the one creating this, is the one coming up with the solutions. Mm-hmm. And so why I needed to use this method for myself was it gave me the, oh yeah, that's the poor little Dorothy part of me that wants to take the lead here and go do this. Oh yeah, this is my part. It's like having a lot of cars on the road and there's only, you know, we have to pay attention to lights and this and that for everything to move in a good direction. But when we have those incidents coming up again and again, it's because the cars aren't going with the flow of the light. It's not going with the flow of traffic. You've seen these types of people. Another way to explain it is the different aspects of ourselves. You've seen the types of people who go on vacation, but they don't know how to take a vacation. They take their laptop, they check into work, they call in. They maybe are doing some other form of working, that like reading a book about work,
yeah,
when they're supposed to be in Bali with their family hanging out. And they just don't have a personality in them to be in vacation mode. So that part of them is always making the wrong solution. It's making the wrong choice. Oh, your work person went and took your phone again, and it's making everyone upset. Their family is not happy because the person isn't present. That's what's happening when we go by reaction. And the only way to sort this out in us is some type of reflection. For me, it's using the non-dominant hand so that I could recognize, after years of doing this, I'm 15 years of doing this now, when I'm coming up to a reaction solution, I could feel it in me because I know what that aspect of me feels like when I'm using the non-dominant hand.
I don't think I could write with my left hand.
Well, you're just scribbling a picture.
Yeah.
You're not trying
to write.
That's
about it.
Just scribble a picture. How do you feel about this? Scribble the picture. You do some reflection. You're doing the exercises, talking back and forth with it, cutting out some images. But you're getting a picture of, oh, that's poor little Dorothy mode or poor little Richard mode or trying to force solutions mode or whatever aspect you want to have that be called, so that when you're out in the world and here comes the trigger situation, because we're all pushing buttons for each other, right?
Yeah.
Because we want to see where we're at. We're practicing responding, not reacting. So when a button gets pushed and here comes, oh, poor little Dorothy mode, well, I practiced it enough on my own, drawing it and reflecting on things and seeing how I really feel, that I could tell in a second, oh, yeah, here comes poor little Dorothy mode again. I don't want to make a decision from there. I just want to notice that feeling is there. And I'm going to say to the other person, I'm not sure. Let me think about that. I'll get back to you. That takes, I can't get there unless I have this ritual of myself that I practice of talking about the accidents of the day and thinking of how I really feel. And then it just becomes a habit. That's my ritual. That's how I handle life's little accidents, is what part of me wants to fix it, basically.
So you create it so that that part of you has something to do, so to speak. It feels important, feels included in whatever's going on in life. That's part of it as well. And that's what we want as individuals, as human beings. We want to feel a part of what's going on. We want to, you know, we don't want to be left out. And unfortunately, there are a lot of, again, I'll go back to the institutions, that tend to foster that whole uninclusive attitude. You know, I've seen in the last few years a method that it works really well to tear a community down, and that's divide and conquer. You know, set one, pit one group of people against another group of people. Hey, let them fight. I'm going to go over here and do what it is that I want to do while they're fighting, because they're not, they don't care. They're more interested. They're, you know, and of course, you're the one that instigated this, you know. And I'm going, that isn't productive at all. You know, it just, and we do that sometimes at work. I've worked with people who didn't want to share anything about the work that they were doing because they thought that if they did that, then the person they were sharing it with would try to go after their job. And I got to tell you, my attitude was totally the opposite. I wanted to share everything that I learned with everybody that I knew because I wanted to move on and do other things. I wanted to try new things, experience new things. And you talk about going on vacation and being disconnected or unconnected, if you will.
Right.
And my wife and I went on our first vacation in 10 years back in the holidays of 2016. And we went up to Yosemite and up to Nevada City. And it was absolutely the greatest vacation I can ever remember taking, with the exception of going to Ireland twice. And even though I was still connected, all right, I didn't make it a habit to contact the radio station. I waited. If there was a problem, they would contact me, and they didn't. But every once in a while, I'd get on my tablet, and I'd log into one of the computers just to see. And if it looked good, I'd log out, and I was done. And that took maybe 2 minutes at the most. But it wasn't something where I was constantly in contact. And we just had the greatest time.
That's right. And if you didn't check in, you would have felt uncomfortable. So that was your feeling good. You know, it's,
but it was not so much that it was intrusive upon
My
wife and I having a good time. And that was what was so important. And the other great thing was that we did, this was before we were set out on the trip. I said, and we aren't rushing anywhere. Even though I know we've got to be at our hotel room outside Yosemite by 7 o'clock that night, you know, we're leaving with plenty of time to get there, and we're going to stop along the way and take our time. And as we were traveling from Yosemite to Nevada City, and we got on Highway 99, and the traffic was unbelievable. It was thick. I mean, I couldn't believe how many people. This was in the middle of the day, and it was unreal. So we said, we're getting off, because the stress level was starting to go up. We got off the freeway, and I reprogrammed the GPS to take us to eliminate highways. And the next thing you know, we're traveling through. When I say this, it makes it sound as if we're actually traveling through the fields.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Going through the rows of whatever it is that they're growing there. But we traveled through country that farm fields on both sides and dairies and all of the most beautiful countryside that I had seen in a long, long time. You know, in spite of the drought that we were going through at the time, it was just gorgeous, and it was stress-free. Took another maybe 30 minutes to get to our destination in Nevada City, but it didn't matter. We still got there before sundown.
Right.
And we weren't stressed because we weren't rushing anywhere. And I know that that's another reason, another way in which we generate those accidents in our lives. We see it all the time. And by the way, I do have to say, I have to give the universe a great deal of credit, and I'm very grateful for this fact. With the number of cars that are on the road every day, just in this country alone, it is still pretty darn amazing the low percentage of cars involved in actual accidents. You'd think there would be more. You and I, we both drive. We've seen people do pretty stupid stuff, right?
Right. And
you'd think
sure.
there'd be a whole, there'd be 50% of the vehicles would be in accidents, you know?
Right.
But it's a much smaller percentage, and it's like, wow.
That's right. We're all asking our gods to help us as we're driving around. We're constantly praying. It's the monks.
If it wasn't for them, we probably have 50% plus.
That's right.
I've even heard that they are like the glue that's holding the world together, in a manner of speaking.
That's right. That's right. They're praying us all through the our daily routines, traffic routines. I like that you took the slow lane. I'm more in the slow lane these days. The best thing I can hear for myself is, what's coming up this weekend? Well, I don't know. I might have one thing where I want to contact a friend. We're going to get together and do something on one of the days. But it's very nice to just have this openness.
Yeah.
And I reserve my lunches for that openness for myself. Mm. I try not to make a lot of plans for lunch. I used to do a bunch of errands at lunch. Sometimes it's necessary to do that, but generally I try to have an unscheduled block of time. Don't plan too much. Have a couple of things going on during the week because you feel like you want to. That can be fun. But the unscheduled time is the really kind of cool place where I like to hang out in. Mm. And to just let myself drop into the mode that makes me feel the best. And it's usually doing some sort of writing or connecting with a friend. I took some time this morning to write a couple of cards to friends just because I hadn't done it for a long time. And that brings me such joy, is writing a letter or a card to someone and mailing it to them, you know.
I noticed too, and maybe you've experienced this, that as you're going through your day-to-day routine and rituals and various tasks and so forth, that there are times when you feel like you wish you were doing something other than this. You wish you were maybe journaling or writing a song, maybe in your case. For me, there are times when I wish I was down at the beach with my drawing pad and pencils, or just at the beach. And I think back to that vacation, I wish I was on the road. Not necessarily going anywhere, but okay, I've got $1,000 cash. That's going towards gas. And when I get to $500 used up in gas, I'm turning around and coming back.
Right.
I'm gonna go as far as it'll take me. Right.
That's right.
And that's what that vacation was like. And so when 2017 holiday week came along, that's all I could think about.
Right.
You know, was being on the road, being out there and just cruising along and seeing where and I told my wife, says, and we're not stopping at any fast food. Okay, it's going to be diners, okay, or other restaurants, maybe a chain restaurant, that kind of thing, but no fast food,
right?
And we stayed away from that,
right?
And it was just because it wasn't because of the food; it was because of the energy, the vibe that you get when you go into places like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's rush, hurry. And it was just I constantly am thinking about just being on the road. When we were in Ireland both times, it was the same kind of thing. You know, we had our destination. We had no timetable, you know, other than getting there before the sun went down. But it was just, what's along the way? And we used to stop. At first, it kind of freaked me out a little bit because she wanted to stop at the cemeteries. We didn't know anybody there. She just wanted to stop.
Right.
And, of course, the stuff they put on the headstones is incredible compared to what we do here. And it dawned on me, cemeteries are a great place to go because they show you the headstones and the grave sites of the people who made the towns that you're driving through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing their legacy around you.
Right. So how can you be on the road today while you're here at work?
Yeah.
How can you?
That's a good question.
So the asking is one mindset, and we let that go. And we have to live our questions, as the poet Rilke had said. We have to live the questions, and then the solution will just jump in our brains when we're not looking for it.
Well, that's what happened with us when we moved to Santa Barbara. We both lost our jobs, mine due to a company letting all of us go because they were changing the format and they weren't keeping any of us.
Mm-hmm.
And she quit. The day after my last day, she calls and says, I just quit my job. And of course, in my head, I'm going, do you know I'm unemployed too?
Right.
But it opened up the door for us to move to Santa Barbara. And within 3 months, we were here. Or actually, it was 2 months because it was March 1st that she called me. And it was May 9th that we drove up into the place where we live now.
Wow.
That's fast. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks after that, the market in Phoenix fell through, the real estate market. So we got out, you know, and so it's like universal timing. So I sit here and I agree with you what you just said about that. And I interpret what you're saying as that the universe is going to make a way when it's time. And you just have to continue doing what you're doing and be patient, not try to rush the situation. And again, it's like being on the road and no timetable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about the timetable. You know, but then again, I also think too, yeah, but is that what I'm supposed to do? Is that part of my purpose? I'm sitting here waiting for the universe, you know, and how do I know that the universe says, well, yeah, but you're not supposed to move?
Well, the universe is waiting for you. Well, you would try to move and then you wouldn't be able to move.
Right.
You just push the door a little bit, but don't kick it down.
Okay.
We have to do a little bit of pushing on it to head in that direction, to feel the direction we're going. And we know stop
mm-hmm.
when it's a stop. You know, I love that Alan Watts had said, some people come at life as if it's a bank to be robbed. That certainly explained me and all my trying.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love I can't quote it exactly. I may have to get a lot of this stuff that I think in my head and find it. And so I have it in front of me. But there's this poem that speaks to. And actually, I have it in my book, come to think of it, but it speaks to life is not not this, that, or the other thing that we think it is. It's actually a race that you run with all the gusto that you can, and when you come sliding into the finish line, you have a champagne glass in one hand and something else in the other hand, and you're completely spent. And because you have just lived your life to the hilt.
Right.
You know, and right. The body is completely worn out and it's time to get a new one.
That's right.
That's what we started out the program with. It's a very fascinating conversation, and I would love for us to continue this. So I wanted love to have you come back to do the program, to the program again and talk more about these kinds of things. And maybe even talk about things that you're doing. Are you holding classes for people? Are you working with people on a one-on-one or group basis to teach them these things aside from what's on your website?
I do classes in people's homes. So if they want to have a group party, like if there's a bridal shower or a birthday party, instead of having a Tupperware party or a makeup party, they can have a creative journal or vision in party. So they can contact me regarding that. I do coaching by phone. And people send me their images so I can work with that, or even an online, you know, if someone really likes the online face-to-face work, mm-hmm. I can do that. So you can contact me for a consultation. If you can contact me and schedule a free consultation, I do 20-minute phone consultations. And those are really fun to find out if this method is the right one for you.
And that's a key right there, too, is what works for you. And we talk about that on this program, about mm-hmm. laying out this giant smorgasbord table. And we put all of this stuff that we talk about on this program on that table. And we just ask you to come. And if it resonates with you, great. If it doesn't, don't touch it.
That's right.
But keep coming back.
That's right. Sometimes it's just so affirming. You know, for me, it's just this message is so affirming that I am on the right path. I am doing what I love. It does feel bad when I'm not following myself, and it feels good when I am.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good to compare myself. It feels good to do this. You know, that's what I use the method for. I need to keep myself on the road, smooth driving every day. That's what I like.
Well, I want to remind our listeners that it is the website is rightinside.com. Rightinside.com takes you right to information about the book, My Body, My Car. There is a music CD. These are all original songs you have written?
Yes, 5 songs. And writing while I'm driving in a car, it means that I have those old-fashioned tape recorders and I just sing really loud.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
I would take it that that works better for you than, say, if you were to get yourself a digital recorder? Just like that old school method?
The old school method was how the songs were written. Now, I now have a digital. Usually what I do is I can just memorize because I'm usually just writing the first few verses. Mm-hmm. And so just repetition of singing it over and over until I can get to a paper and a pen. That's usually the best way for me. I've always done that. I used to write poetry when I used to run. I used to run long distance track in high school. And when I was rehearsing to run, you know, mm-hmm. practice, mm-hmm. I would always write in my mind and just got used to being able to memorize.
Well, I'm thrilled that you've joined us here on the program and that we have been able to hopefully... You know, maybe inspire some people, enlighten some people as to some different methods and different ways to, if they're not, get them on track, get them on purpose, find their purpose is the key, obviously. Because like you, when I'm doing something, whether it's associated with doing these programs or radio or broadcasting, or if I'm up on the hill where I live, taking on a task, for example, this particular week, each evening when we've gotten home and we've gotten all of the animals squared away, there's something I want to do outside, out in nature, if you will. And usually I try not to overload myself. I just take on one task and a small task, and it takes me maybe less than an hour. And when I'm done, I go inside and I get cleaned up and relax for the rest of the evening, spend it with the animals and my wife, and then say, okay, and tomorrow evening I want to do this and so forth. And it just feels good taking on these little bite-sized things. And that's really what we need to do. Instead of trying to save the world, big bites, just take it in little bites.
That's right.
Yeah.
Little bites.
Right. Inside.com. That's WRITE. Rightinside.com is the website to go to. And again, My Body, My Car. Before we let you go, I would like to ask you 3 final questions. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on the program. First question is, who is Dorothy Sokovia?
She is someone who likes to have fun and especially likes being connected to her own self.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
A collage in every garage.
Oh, I like that. Nice rhyming, too. And finally, though you did allude to this during the program, what is your life's purpose?
To stay connected to myself, which is as a writer and a teacher. And I found this method that is so much fun for me. Playing with crayons, cutting and pasting vision boards. What could be better?
Dorothy Sokovia, thank you again for joining us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love, Talal.